Loving God, we thank you for all the ways that you guide us, protect us, and speak to us. And Lord, now as we reflect on this scripture, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. And we pray that you would speak to each of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Of all of the names given to Jesus in the Bible, Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the bread of life, the Son of David, the Lamb of God. Of all these names, one of my favorites is Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the humble and unassuming leader who lays down his life for his followers, the one who knows each sheep by name, who leads them through green pastures and by still waters. It's personally reassuring, this image of Jesus as a good shepherd, but this shepherd imagery can also be a lot of fun for sermon writing, except that at some point a preacher must refer to us, human beings, as sheep, and that doesn't always land well. Most of us think of sheep as slobbering, dirty, dumb animals who exist only to be shaved for nice socks and sweaters or slaughtered for food. We might hesitantly accept being compared to lambs because lambs are so cute, right? But none of us want to be called sheep. It's become an insult that people hurl at those who hold opposite political views to theirs. I keep hearing when they, on either side of the spectrum, they refer to each other as sheeple, which I think is kind of weird. Anyway, I've lived in rural communities for a good part of my life, and I know that sheep are actually not as dumb as people make them out to be. And I think that this is probably just a nasty rumor spread by cattle farmers, because sheep don't behave like cows. While cows are herded from behind, often with whips or prods of some sort, sheep won't respond to that kind of leadership because they prefer to be led, right? While you drive cattle, you lead sheep, and they won't go where someone else hasn't gone before. And that's why they follow their shepherd. The shepherd is the one who goes ahead of them to show them that everything is safe, that everything will be all right. I recently learned that sheep tend to grow quite fond of their shepherd, actually, and consider the shepherd to be a part of the sheep family. So they develop a language between them to which outsiders are not privy, that outsiders are not familiar with. A good shepherd will learn to distinguish a bleat of pain from a bleat of pleasure, while the sheep learn that the cluck of a tongue means food, or a little two-note whistle means that it's time to go home. In Jesus' time, in the fields surrounding the towns and cities, it was common and familiar to see shepherds bringing their flocks home from the various pastures that they'd been grazing during the day. And often all of the sheep from all of the shepherds would end up at the same watering hole right around dusk and would all get mixed up together. 8 or 9 small flocks turning into a large convention of thirsty sheep at the water. The shepherds never had have to worry about a mix-up, though. When it was time to go home, each one would issue his own distinctive call, the one that they would know, a special trill or a whistle or some sort of indication only to his sheep that it was time to go. And that shepherd's sheep would withdraw from the crowd to follow their shepherd home. They knew to whom they belonged. They knew their own shepherd's voice, and it was the only one that they would follow. A young lamb or even a full-grown sheep who had not learned to listen to its shepherd's voice would be in danger. Sheep who don't follow their shepherd can wander off and become lost. And once sheep are lost, they're completely defenseless. Their only defense in life is the person who is caring for them. So it's very important that the sheep stay close and listen carefully and follow where the shepherd leads them. In this morning's Bible passage from the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about the different kinds of people who lead sheep. He's talking about the difference between a true shepherd who has really invested himself in protecting his flock and who takes that task seriously and with great responsibility versus a hired hand, someone who's just filling in, someone who's just doing the job while it suits his own needs. We all know the difference between a worker who is invested in their work and who sees it as a calling and who really cares about what they're doing, and the one who's just there for the paycheck. A hired hand who doesn't really care about the sheep will look after himself first, the scripture says, dismissing completely the lives of the vulnerable sheep. If there's danger, he'll just take off and leave, leaving the sheep defenseless. In this passage, though, Jesus is offering a lesson about shepherds to people, not to sheep, about shepherds who lead people and not sheep. And we, as human beings, have a distinct advantage over animals. We can choose which voice we're going to follow.
Sorry, I have a catch in my throat.
We can choose which voice we're going to follow. We don't have to just follow the one that we know, the one that we've heard 100 times, the one that's familiar. We can choose to follow a different voice. We don't have to just follow the loudest voice. We have the ability, the cognitive ability, to discern a good shepherd from a bad one and make a conscious decision about who our shepherd will be, about which shepherd we're going to follow. Now, I know there are people who will say, I'm my own shepherd. I don't follow anyone, and nobody tells me what to do. I'm afraid these people are only fooling themselves, because like it or not, we all follow some established way of thinking. There's nothing new in the universe, as they say. We're all influenced by the world around us, like it or not. And if anyone thinks that they're their own shepherd, what they're really saying is that they're just not conscious of who or what is really leading them through life. And that's a dangerous way to live, because it means their choice of who to listen to is not being made consciously. Author John Mark Comer, he's the author of several books on spiritual formation, and he says spiritual formation is not just a Christian thing or just a religious thing. Spiritual formation is a human thing. We're all being formed spiritually. And he says to be human is to be dynamic, not static. We're all being formed. We're all becoming a person. The question is not, are you becoming someone, but who or what are you becoming? All Christian spiritual formation, he says, is counterformation, because we're already being formed by the world. And so it becomes counterformation when we choose that instead of allowing ourselves to be formed by the world, that we choose to be formed by the way of Jesus. But we don't have a choice to follow nobody. Our choice is to follow Jesus or follow the world and some representative of it. Even the people that we call leaders in the world have their own role models. the people that they're following, the people that have mentored and shaped them according to a particular worldview. These are people who have looked around and who have made a conscious decision about the people that they want to follow, that they want to choose them, or they want to teach them how to succeed in life. So you can choose a worldly mentor, or you can choose to follow Jesus. There are certainly lots of voices to choose from. We can listen to the voice of mainstream culture drifting along with the way the tide goes. And this is certainly the easiest and may feel the safest and most comfortable, but it often just deters us from making a conscious choice. If we just drift along with the culture, we'll never drift into a relationship with God. We'll never drift into being a disciple of Jesus. We'll always drift away from it. We can listen to the voices of various philosophical or political subcultures, although those are often very individualistic. And so they are the most likely to leave us high and dry at precisely the most vulnerable moments of our lives. There are lots of individuals who want to tell us what we should do with our lives, from cranky relatives who want to give us free advice that we didn't ask for, to lifestyle gurus or influencers who really just want to soak us for all that we have and so that we can get their so-called expert advice. But when things really get tough and the holes in their advice are exposed, where will they be? Most of those people are like the hired hand. When things start to go wrong, they flee the scene, worrying only about protecting their own interests and reputations. There are also lots of worldviews that we hear just by living in the world, by listening to other people speaking, by reading the newspapers, by reading through the memes on your Facebook newsfeed, or by listening to the radio or watching popular television shows, or by conversing with family and friends. We hear people express opinions and views of the world. And if we absorb that, if we just don't really think about it and just absorb it and accept that what they say is true, then they are the ones that we're allowing to lead us. The other choice we can make is to follow the voice of Jesus, to listen to him, to seek out his voice and listen to where he's leading us, and to follow and to weigh everything we hear and everything we learn against what he said to his disciples, right? Why on earth would we want to follow the voice of a simple man who lived over 2,000 years ago and who died a painful death while he was still quite young? What makes him a better shepherd than all of the other modern-day would-be shepherds who seem so successful, who seem so progressive, and whose voices are so loud all around us? Well, in this passage, Jesus tells us what kind of shepherd he is, so that we can discern for ourselves why we should follow him. He is not the type of shepherd who takes care of his followers only while it's convenient for him, leaving them when they are most in need. He is the type of shepherd who dearly values and treasures the lives, the hearts, and the needs of those who follow him. In his divinity, as a person of the Trinity, he could have said, these people are just like dumb sheep, right? My life is far more valuable than theirs. But he doesn't do that. No, he places his followers' well-being and safety ahead of his own. He values the fact that we have placed our trust in him. He values that we have allowed ourselves to be vulnerable to him, and that we depend on him. That's because Jesus' followers are not just a herd of nameless sheep to him. He says, I know them, and they know me. Influencers and gurus don't know the people who follow them like Jesus does. If you don't want to be a sheep, then following Jesus is the way to go. Following the Good Shepherd is the way to go if you don't want to be a sheep. Dallas Willard says, for example, we should just look at the saints, right? The ones who have followed Jesus more closely. Dallas says, the saints are all very unique, right? He said, sinners are remarkably unoriginal. They're all the same things, right? In Jesus' eyes, though, each one of us is unique, and he values each and every single one of his followers for the individuals that we are. The ones who really follow him and listen to his voice choose to do what he says, choose to do what he says because we have learned over time that he is trustworthy. And we know that Jesus will not lead us into danger. Rather, he leads us, as he has said, into abundant life, the life that he has planned specifically for us, for each and every one of us. Jesus could have walked away from his earthly mission. He could have walked away and saved his own life at many points along the journey, like a hired hand. Instead, during this Easter season, we celebrate that Jesus voluntarily went to the cross and laid down his life for our sake, that we might eternally know the very heart of the almighty and loving God of the universe. A classic movie that shows this struggle and illustrates the paths that Jesus could have chosen compared to the one that he did choose is called The Last Temptation of Christ. It's quite an old movie, I think from the 80s or 90s. Did anyone see The Last Temptation of Christ way back when? Just me. People took offense to it. A lot of people said they wouldn't see it, and they took offense to it because it showed the Jesus imagining the life that he could have chosen, right? A normal life. And it wasn't the life of a superstar. He imagined being able to just live a normal life like any other person and have love and marriage and family and everything so simple, like the exact same life that most of us have or want for ourselves. And the thing about this movie is that it's another way of highlighting the level of sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And I found it quite moving to think that, you know, at any given moment, he could have said, you know what, I don't need all this. I could just live a normal life like everyone else. But he chose to do that for us. Jesus chose the path of self-sacrifice because he is the shepherd who loves his followers and cares for us personally and protects us fiercely, who knows where the best pastures are for us and the purest water, and who will never lead us down a wrong path, even when we're not quite sure exactly where he's leading us. Knowing that we are all going through this life following one voice or another, either consciously or unconsciously, why would we trust our lives to anyone other than Jesus? Why would we open ourselves up to voices that are not looking for our welfare? Why would we not put our lives into the hands of the one who has promised to give us abundant life? And so how do we recognize this voice? We learn, like the sheep learn to recognize the voice of their shepherd, we learn to recognize the voice of Jesus because he speaks to us. He speaks to us gently through the Holy Scriptures. He speaks to us truthfully, and he speaks to us lovingly to our hearts, during our times of quiet prayer. He speaks to us sometimes through the voices of other people, especially those who genuinely care about us, and especially the voices of other believers. Our shepherd loves us and guides us and protects us. Jesus is the good shepherd who, seeing us struggling through life, picks us up like a lamb who needs a rest, right? And carries us in his arms until we regain our strength. Jesus doesn't promise that life will always be free of struggles, right? There are wolves out there. There are struggles in life. But he promises to always care for us and to lead us through the trials and into abundant life. An anonymous poet, inspired by the words of the 23rd Psalm that we read together today, once wrote, one of my favorite poems. I read it so often. I often read it at funerals. I reflect on it during my times of trial in my own life. I don't remember from one week to the next what I preached on, so I may have already read you this poem, but I love it so much. I may have included it in another sermon at some point. I don't remember, but I just feel like it's worth sharing again, and I'll probably share it again in the future, just so you know. This is a poem, I love it. In pastures green, not always, sometimes He who knoweth best in kindness leadeth me in weary ways where heavy shadows be. And by still waters? No, not always so. Oft times the heavy tempests round me blow, and o'er my soul the waves and billow go. But when the storm is loudest and I cry aloud for help, the Master standeth by and whispers to my soul, lo, 'tis I. So where he leads me, I can safely go, and in the blessed hereafter I shall know why in his wisdom he hath led me so. Amen.